With me to 1 Peter chapter number 2, please. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Begin reading with verse number 4. Our text tonight will basically come from verse number 7, but we are going to read verse number 1 down through verse number 10. The Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." If you remember last week, we preached on this subject, developing a spiritual appetite, or developing the right kind of the appetite. We need to have an appetite for the Word of God. We need to have a desire to read and to study the Word of God. And so I believe that's what Peter is talking about in verse number 1 through verse number 3. And then we go on to verse number 4. The Bible says, "To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and I want you to say this next word. What is it? He is precious." Talking about Jesus. We go on in verse number 5. "Ye also," talking about us, "as lively stones are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Where also it is contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect,'" and you say this word, "precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stumbling, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past ye were not a people, but now the people of God, which hath obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I'm going to preach two messages, not tonight, but in the next couple of weeks, out of this passage. Next week, I'm going to talk about the church, because I believe the main context of these verses is talking about the church and how the church is built and those type of things. And so we're going to look at that next week. But as I was reading and I was studying this passage of Scripture, these words just, or this really one word, popped out to me. In verse number 4, he's talking about Jesus and he says he's precious. In verse number 6, once again, talking about Jesus, and he says he's precious. And then in verse number 7, he says once again, "Unto you therefore which believe," he, talking about Jesus, "is precious." If I were to ask you tonight, what is the one thing in this life that you value more than anything else? You give your time, you give your money, you give your energy to it. I wonder if we would go around this room tonight and all of us would really be honest with ourselves and honest with us. I wonder what kind of answers we would get. Perhaps some might say, "You know what, my relationships that I have in my life, my relationship that I have with my husband and my kids and my grandkids, you know what, that is the thing that I value the most." Some might be here tonight and you might have had a cancer scare or a health scare and you thought that you was going to lose your health and maybe even your life. And because of that, now you would say, "You know what? The thing that is the most important in my life and the thing that I value the most is my health." As we look around our world today and we see our freedoms being taken away from us and we see what is going on in Ukraine and somebody imposing their will upon another country and we begin to think, "You know what, we might could be losing some of our freedoms," and because of that we might say, "You know what, I value freedom more than anything else in this world." There are many of us that are here tonight that we're very busy. We have many irons in the fire. We go here and we go there. And it just seems like that there's not enough hours in the day. And at the end of the day, we've done everything that we could, but we just wish, you know, there was another 2 or 3 hours in the day, but there's not. And because we never can get everything done, we think our time is the most important. We value our time and we think, you know what, man, if I could just have a little bit more time, that would be all that I need. There's others that might stand and say, you know what, my possessions, they're the things that I value the most. I place great value on my bank account, on houses, on cars, on boats, on land, on money. Hey, and the thing that I value is the thing that I can buy and the things that I can hold. If you look up the word precious, here is what you're going to find the meaning is. It means this, highly esteemed and cherished. It means something that has great value or high price or a high price. It also means this, it's something that is praiseworthy of or one that is worthy of praise and honor. In this definition, it also means this, that precious, something that is precious, it's not to be wasted or it's not to be treated carelessly. If you look it up in the Greek, here's what it means. It means esteem. It means honor. It means respect. It means reverence. It means honorable. And it means valuable. For our definition tonight, I want you to think about two things. Precious is something that has great value to it. And then the second thing that I want you to think about as we go through this message tonight, it's something that we shouldn't treat carelessly. If you look up in the New Testament, you're going to find that the word precious is used 16 times. Most of those, or actually half of those, is found in Peter. Peter uses half of those, but throughout the New Testament it is used sporadically. And the first time that you find this word precious, it is used in Matthew 26 in verse number 7, where it's talking about a woman that comes and anoints the body of Jesus before he goes to the cross. And here is what that verse says. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious or very valuable ointment, and she poured it upon his head as he sat there at meat. I've heard all of my life that the value of this ointment, perhaps she would have had to work an entire year to buy this box of ointment. It was something that was very costly. It was something that was very important to her. And she thought, you know what? If I can pour it out on anybody, Jesus would be worthy of this very high costly, this very pricely ointment because he is precious. Mark uses the same words about the same situation in Mark 14 and verse number 3. The Bible says, in being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. The next time that it is used is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 12. And it's talking about our works. And it's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And it's talking and it's comparing our works to this. He says, now if any man built upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones. Those are works that we've done for the sake of Christ. Those are the works that we've done to further the kingdom of God. And he says, hey, they're like gold and silver and precious stones. And then he compares our works that will receive no reward as to wood, hay, and stubble. But he says, there are some works that are very valuable. There are some works that we ought to be doing in this world that we shouldn't treat carelessly and we shouldn't just basically go through the motion because one of these days we'll give an answer to God. The third time that it's used is James chapter 5 and verse number 7. The Bible says, be ye patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath not long patience for it until he received it in the early and the latter rain. The context of that passage of Scripture is talking about the second coming of Christ. Is the second coming of Christ, and he's comparing it to a farmer that goes out and he plants a seed and he waters that seed and he fertilizes that seed and he goes out and he takes the weeds out of that seed and he's waiting for the plant to grow and produce a very valuable, a very precious fruit. James is comparing that to you and I as Christians. We put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we serve the Lord and we live for the Lord, but we're waiting for that precious fruit. We're waiting for Jesus Christ to come in the second coming of Him. Why? Because it's something that is very valuable to you and I. It's used six other times in the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelations, it is used basically to talk about material. Five of those times, he's talking about precious stones. When he's talking about the foundations and the walls and those type of things, he compares that they are built with precious stones. And one of the references to precious wood. But Peter uses it seven times. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4, I want to look at the very back and work our way forward. But in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4, here is what Peter says. It says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Peter was saying, you know what, the promises that we have in the Word of God and the promises that God has given to us, they're very valuable. They have great value to them. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Peter was saying, you know what, our faith, it's very valuable. It's worth a great amount. And then 1 Peter 1 and verse number 19, Peter says this, "But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Peter was saying, you know what? The blood that Jesus said so that you and I could be redeemed, it's precious, it has great value, it has great worth, it is worthy to be praised and honored. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7, he's talking about the trial of our faith. And in that passage, he says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Peter is saying, you know what? When you go through trials and difficulties and when you go through hardships in your life, it is more valuable than gold. It is more valuable than silver. Hey, the trials of your faith is something that is very precious. And then in our text tonight, he uses the word precious three times to describe Jesus. Verse number 4. He says, you know what? He's chosen of God, and he's precious. Verse number 6, he compares him to a cornerstone, and he says, you know what? He is chosen, but he is precious. And then in verse number 7, he says, if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is precious. You see, he doesn't say that he might be precious. Peter doesn't say unto you which believe that he has the potential to be precious. That's not what Peter says. Peter says unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. What if he's not precious? What if he's not very valuable to you and I? What if we don't hold Jesus in very high esteem? You read the rest of verse number 7, he says, "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." You see, if Jesus is not precious to you, if he is not valuable to you, I believe one of the things that Peter is talking here, you may not be saved. You say that's strong. What did Peter say? Unto you which believe, unto you which have put your faith and your trust in Jesus, he says he is precious. He is valuable. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our honor. You see, God thinks Jesus is precious. Peter tells us that in verse number 4. He says he's chosen of God and he's precious. You go to the book of Matthew and remember when Jesus was fixing to be baptized and he was baptized by John the Baptist and he came up out of the water and the Bible says that there was a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know what God was saying? God was telling everybody that was there, "Hey, here is my Son. He's valuable. He is worthy of your praise. He is worthy of your honor. He has great worth." In Matthew chapter number 17, when Jesus was at the transfiguration and Elijah and Moses came down, the Bible says this in verse number 5, that while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God was saying, not a preacher, not a dear saint, but God was saying, "Hey, this is my Son. He's very valuable. He is worthy of your praise. He is worthy of your honor." God, Jesus Christ, is valuable to God. George Beverly Shea writes a song that we sing that says the same thing. "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. Yes, I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be king of a vast domain and to be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today." Fanny Crosby put it this way: "Take the world, but give me Jesus. Take the world, but give me Jesus." The Apostle Paul said it this way in Colossians 1, 17 through verse number 18. And he, talking about Jesus, "He's before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." The Apostle Paul said, Jesus Christ is to be of great value. He is to be a priority. He is to be number one in your life. He was that way in the Apostle Paul's life. Jesus said it this way about himself in Mark chapter 12 in verse number 30. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." In chapter 10 in verse number 37 he says it this way: "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Jesus declared that he is valuable, that he is precious, that he is worthy of honor, that he is worthy of respect, that he is worthy of reverence. If I were to ask you tonight to raise your hand, do you believe that Jesus is precious? You know what? Everybody would raise their hand and say, "Oh yes, preacher, I believe that Jesus is precious and I believe that he is valuable." But what if I was to follow you this week? I saw every penny that you spent. I saw every conversation that you had. I saw everything that you watched on TV. I saw every action that you had. At the end of the week, if I followed you all week long, would I be able to say, "You know what? I believe Jesus is precious to you"? I want to give you four things right quick tonight. That I believe that if Jesus is precious to you, these will be true in your life. The first one is that you'll trust everything to Jesus. You'll trust everything to Jesus. Philippians 3 and verse number 8, Paul said this: "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Paul says, when it comes to things of this world and when it comes to things around me, I would rather get rid of all of those things if it means that I can have Christ. Paul is saying, you know what? I trust Christ with everything that I have. The disciples, they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that they gave up everything they had. They gave up their occupation. They gave up their families. They gave up everything. And in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 28, Peter said this: "Lord, we've left all, and we have followed thee." You could say to the disciples, you know what? Jesus was precious to them. Jesus was valuable to them because they were willing to forsake everything and make Jesus a priority in their life. You read the Old Testament at Abraham. God comes to Abraham and says, "Abraham, man, I've got something special for you. Abraham, I've got something that I want to accomplish with you. Abraham, I want to bless all of the world through you, but here's what you've got to do. You've got to forsake your land, and you've got to forsake where you're at, and you've got to pick up everything, and you've got to just start going. And when you get there, I'll tell you. I'm not going to tell you before. You're just going to have to trust me." And you know what? That's what Abraham did. It's easy to preach about it, and it's easy to read about it, but put yourselves in the shoes of Abraham, God coming in saying, hey, pick up everything that you have and just start down the road and go. Listen to me. That takes trust and that takes confidence. And Abraham had the trust and confidence in the Lord. It wasn't the only time. In Genesis chapter number 22, God comes to Abraham. He says, you know what, that son that you have by the name of Isaac, that he's your only son. I promise to bless all of the world through your son. And your heritage is going to be as the grains of the sands of the sea. Hey, Abraham, you know this only son? I want you to trust me with him. Abraham, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take Isaac and I want you to put the wood on his back and I want you to take him up on the mountain and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Once again, it's easy to preach that. Boy, that makes good preaching. Boy, I tell you what, you can stand back and say, man, you got to trust God. But listen to me, put yourselves in Abraham's shoes. God coming and saying, you know what, hey, I want you to sacrifice your son. Listen to me, I've been there. I can remember when both of my girls surrendered to be missionaries. I want you to know I wasn't happy about it. I thought, you know what, God, you're gonna take my babies and you're going to send them all the way around the world and I'm never going to get to see them. I'm never going to get to be involved in their lives. And I'm going to tell you what it was, if I could just be honest with you tonight, it was really difficult period in my life. I wasn't like Abraham because you know what God found out? I really wasn't trusting him with the most valuable things that he has given to me. He wasn't precious to me. But you know what Abraham said? I'll do it, God, because I trust you with everything. You remember he put the wood on Isaac's back and they started up the hill and it wasn't long before Isaac turned and said, hey, Father, man, we've got the wood and we've got everything, but we don't have a sacrifice. And you know what Abraham said? The Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. You see, when God is precious, you'll trust everything to him. The second thing is that you'll find your all in Jesus. All that you want. You know, all of us have a lot of wants. All that you wish for, all that you conceive, will find in Jesus when he's precious to you. We sing that song, you are my all in all. It says, you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. Why? Because you're my all in all. We sing that great song, Christ is all I need. But what if you lost everything tonight? What if you lost everything? Would Christ be enough? It's easy to sing it in church. You are my all in all. But what if he was like the Apostle Paul in a Roman jail, and that's all he had? Peter says it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3 through 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Peter said, you know what? Everything that I need, you've given it to me. Are you at a place in your life where he's all you need? When it comes to joy, where do you go to look for it? It ought to be in Christ. When you're looking for peace, where is it? It ought to be Christ. When you're looking for strength, where is it? It ought to be Christ. When you're looking for courage, it ought to be Christ. And when you're looking for stability, it ought to be Christ. If he's precious to you, he'll be your all in all. The third thing is that you'll talk about him and you'll sing about him. I love this passage of Scripture, Jeremiah chapter number 20 and verse number 9. Jeremiah had preached the Word of God and he had gone through very difficult times and they had thrown him in jail and Jeremiah decided, you know what, I'm not going to talk about you, God, anymore. Man, if this is the way that you're going to treat me and if this is all the things that I'm going to go through, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Hey, I'm not talking about you anymore, God. Oh, but I love this verse. But he said, there was a fire in my bones that I could not keep quiet. Man, it wasn't long before he started preaching. It wasn't long before he started telling everybody about God and all about those things. And listen to me, hey, when Christ is precious in your life, you're going to want to talk about him. You're going to want to talk about all the things that he's doing in your life. I don't know if anybody noticed, but North Carolina beat Duke last night. Ha! Mike Krzyzewski had been at Duke for 42 years, and it was his last game at the Cameron Indoor Arena, and North Carolina went in there and beat them. And if you'll just let me talk to you about it, we'll stay here till 10 or 11 o'clock because North Carolina beat them. Amen. You want to know about my grandbabies? I want to talk about them. You want to know about my daughters? Hey, listen to me. I want to talk about them. I want to talk about things that are important to me. You know, they say if you want to have good conversations with people, just find out what is important to them and start talking about it. But let me ask you this question. When was the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? Just talked about how good he was. Talked about how merciful he was. Maybe someone at work they might be talking about something else, and you just started carrying on a conversation about Jesus. You know what happens when you talk to people about Jesus most of the time? They change the subject. But you know, we talk about things that has great value to us. And I'm telling you, if Jesus is precious and Jesus has great value in your life, you're going to talk about him. But there's something else, and as a music director, I get to preach on this because it's my forte. But you're going to want to sing. I'm telling you, the Word of God is full of verses that talk about singing to the Lord. In the book of Psalms, he says, sing a new song. Over and over again, 3 or 4 times in the book of Psalms, when you get saved, he puts a new song in your heart. Paul in the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians both times says, hey, that when you're saved and when you're filled with the Spirit of God and when you're trusting in the Lord, here is what you're going to do. You're going to sing songs, psalms and spiritual songs, praising and thanking and being joyful to the Lord. Can I give you my opinion? I'm going to. One of the things that I think is not destroying, that's too strong of a word, but I think one of the things that's hindering churches is that people don't sing in church anymore. Because here's what we've done. We've gotten the very best musicians that we can, and man, we get everything just so right, and now most of you won't understand what I'm saying, but all of the old music is what we'd call on the downbeat. It's really easy to sing because everybody can feel the downbeat. See, watch them. They know what I'm talking about. But you know, now all of the music is not on the downbeat, it is on a upbeat. It's called a syncopated rhythm. You don't feel it. I don't feel it. I struggle because I want to go here and everything is here. And the ranges are really hard to sing, and sometimes it's really hard to sing some of these new songs. And so what we do is we just sit back and we let somebody else do it. But you know what? If Jesus is precious, he wants to hear you. He wants you to lift up your voice to him. And I know I've heard every excuse that can be made. But I'm telling you, if we'll just lift our voice to him, you'll get so much more out of the service. Because you know what? God wants to hear you sing. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to be praised. He wants to know that you think he is worthy of that praise. You see, when he's precious, you'll talk about him and you'll sing about him. And then the last one is that you'll never be able to do enough for him. You'll never be able to do enough for him. Here is a phrase that I have never heard a dear saint of God say. I did too much. I gave too much. I served too long at that church over there. Hey, I gave too much time to the Lord, and I gave too much time to the church. Listen to me, I have known hundreds and hundreds of dear saints of God, and I have never one time heard that out of a dear saint of God. But here is what I've heard many times. I wished I could have done more. Man, I wished I could have served more. I wished I could have given more. I wished I could have done more for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, if Jesus is precious, you'll never be able to do enough for Him. Martin Luther had a dream, and I'm done, in which he stood on the day of judgment before God Himself, and Satan was there to accuse him, just like the Job book. He said, when Satan opened his book full of accusations, he pointed to transgressions after transgressions which Luther was guilty. As the proceedings went on, Luther's heart sunk in despair. Then he remembered the cross of Christ, and turning up on Satan, he said, hey, there's one entry which you have not made, Satan. The devil retorted, what is it? And Luther added this, it is this, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Peter said it this way, you unto therefore which believe, He is precious. Let's pray. God, we love You tonight. And Lord, I pray that all of us would do an analysis of our lives. And before we leave tonight, if You are not very, very valuable in our lives, God, I pray that tonight we just do business with You. And Lord, sometimes it's tough to think that You want preeminence in our life. You want to be number one. But God, that's what Your Word teaches us. God, we can get busy with other things, with other interests. And God, we can just go through the motions. And we can come in on a Sunday and leave on a Sunday and not really be moved. In the morning times, we can open up the Word of God and read what You have for us, and we just read it like another book, and we're not really moved. But God, tonight I pray that You'd help us determine in our hearts that in this coming week, we're going to look to You and treat You as somebody that's very valuable and not do it in a careless manner. God, I pray that You'd have Your will in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us tonight? Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. Maybe God's spoken to you. You come.